Please stand for the reading of our gospel lesson this morning, taken from Luke chapter 24, the story of the road to Emmaus, verses 13 through 35. On that day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, But him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, today we're going to take a look at the same old story, you might say. I mean, every year about this time, as we go through the weeks of Easter, we come upon this Emmaus Road story. And you might say, what can you say that we don't already know? I don't know. I mean, that's always a tough one for preachers, because it's a viable and exciting and important story. And every year you try to clasp onto something different that you haven't thought of before, or you just wait patiently on the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to sort of tap you on the head and say, "Look here, you missed this all this time." Well, I don't know if this is one of those occasions, but it is an opportunity to revisit the Emmaus Road. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the season of Easter, which never grows cold or old, for the opportunity to revisit again great stories of our faith, great stories of adventure and hope and excitement and life that came from an empty tomb. As we gather this day, as we seek more clearly to understand your holy word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Boys, hurry up, would you please? The game starts in 30 minutes and we're going to be late. Grab a PBJ and a couple of cookies and let's go. Frank, I'm sorry. The traffic has been horrible. And I'm due at the church in 20 minutes. You know, another one of those finance meetings. Just order a couple of pizzas. The kids will love them. Oh, I realize this is the third time we've had pizza this week. Just get them something different. Honey, I'll stop off on the way home and pick up some rotisserie chicken and some frog eye and cucumber salads and some fresh bread. That should do it. That should be enough for supper. You see, I'm just too tired to cook anything tonight. And we always enjoy the rotisserie chicken, except for the pink parts. I'll see you soon. Oh, we're going to be late for church again. Why is it we know the time they start, and we're always late every week? I don't know what it is. No matter how early we get up, we're always late for church. Okay, kids, what I want you to do is grab a glass of orange juice and one of Grandma's spinach granola bars. Oh, it'll be delightful. But you know, when we go to church, there's bound to be something good to eat in between the services. So you can eat breakfast then, if that's all right. There's always something good to eat at church. Since 1953, our world has been turned upside down. And you might say, well, what in the world happened in 1953? I had to go back in my ancient history to find that out. That was the year before the golden arches went up. The year before the golden arches went up, and it was the year that a Swanson food dietitian by the name of Betty Cronin created the TV dinner. Yeah, that was the year. No more two-hour meal preparation. You know, from scratch, you remember? 2 hours. I remember my mother working in the kitchen. I mean, the homemade biscuits she made were that high. I kid you not. And it took time to do all of that. And to make the best, Lord knows, the best chicken pot pie that the world has ever seen. And it took hours to prepare it. I'm fully aware of that. Now everything has been shrink-wrapped and ready in 7 to 15 minutes. It's just that fast. We can do it right away. TV dinners and fast food would change the baby boomer and future generations forever. And we will soon reach the opportunity, the gift planted to us, that we will be able to open a bottle and have, we'll have green beans in this little pill. And we'll have roast beef in this little pill and mashed potatoes in this pill. And we'll all swallow them down with a big glass of gravy. Now, what do you think the disciples walking on the Emmaus Road were thinking about in late afternoon as they made the 7-mile journey between Jerusalem and Emmaus? What was going on in their minds? Well, there were a lot of things. Let's take a look at the scenario. You know the story. Cleopas and a friend were sort of looking down in the mouth and long-faced as they made their way to Emmaus, discussing the events of the way, of the day. And Jesus comes up and walks along behind them and beside them. It was not an unaccustomed thing to have strangers walk together on the road. But this particular case, the stranger happened to be Jesus. They didn't know who he was or why he was, why the stranger was there. And when he did come up, he asked him, "What in the world are you discussing? What are you talking about today?" And the response was from Cleopas, "What's the matter with you? Haven't you heard what's going on? Haven't you heard the word? Haven't you heard about what's happened in Jerusalem the last few days?" Well, they told the stranger about Jesus of Nazareth, a man of God, a prophet, blessed by both God and people. And they both said, "We had hoped he would be the one who would redeem us and redeem Israel. But instead he was crucified." Now that was 3 days ago he was crucified. And this morning the rumor has come to us, and you know about rumors, don't you? The rumor has come to us that the tomb in which he was placed was empty. That the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. They don't know what happened to the body. Some of our friends said that there was a vision of angels. And the angel said, "You're looking at the wrong place. You're not going to find him here. Jesus is alive. We haven't seen him." We don't know that to be the truth, but that's the rumor that has come to us. And the discussion continued with Jesus giving some wonderful information about the one who was to come and who has come for them. And when Jesus was about to take leave of the disciples, what happened? Something very interesting. There was no doubt that as far as Cleopas was and his friend were concerned, that, it was dinner time. We're going to head on home. There's a great meal prepared for us. It's time to eat again. Oh, by the way, I don't know where you're headed, but would you like to come and have dinner with us? Spend the night. Be with us. I love the story. I love almost the calm and quietness that takes place. Oh, there was, I would imagine, chatter, and there was conversation, and they continued the talk of the afternoon as they made their way to Emmaus. But then we reach that wonderful little part of the story, that wonderful part where at the table, in the breaking of the bread, catch this now, this is important. It was while they were at the table and in the breaking of the bread that their mind and their eyes and their hearts were opened to the powerful presence of Christ among them. I don't want to make this a mealy-mouse event. This was a powerful experience. When the bread was broken, Christ was there. You feel it? That's how powerful it was. And immediately Jesus vanished. Yeah, I always like this because I can see Jesus in the midst of all this saying, "I got him." There was a bit of hesitancy on the part, but I got him. And their eyes were open and they recognized the Master. I think it's important to notice several things. Jesus did not appear to the two Emmaus disciples at the empty tomb. Do you notice that? He did not appear to them at the empty tomb. He did not appear to them at the temple, which might be a logical place to meet disciples. He didn't meet them on a mountaintop. And he didn't meet them behind closed doors like the other disciples when he all of a sudden appears in their midst. Didn't meet him in any of those places. He appeared at a home-cooked meal. That's where Jesus appeared. At a home-cooked meal. And Jesus provided the bread. And just as the Lord's table is set for a meal of remembrance today, so your table at home is the Lord's everyday cathedral where he will meet you. Not just in church, it's at home every day. You break bread together. The power of the Lord's presence is upon you. Didn't think about that, did you? Wow. And it's there. Wow. The Lord's everyday cathedral, the place you can encounter the resurrected Lord, is in the bread of blessing shared at the meal. Now, by the way, I don't care where that meal is. And sometimes we forget. We're in McDonald's having our hamburger and French fries, thick chocolate milkshake, all very healthy and good for you. We know that. And every now and then, even at McDonald's, you look over there and you glance at a table and you have a second look and there's fingers joined. And one of the kids or mom or dad are saying, "Let's thank the Lord for this, because in the breaking of a hamburger bun, the power of the presence is with you." We were at Red Robin the other day. Whoa, was that an experience? We had a diversity of food you cannot imagine. There were salads and burgers and fries and all kind of wonderful stuff. And there were people scattered around us. We did not, I didn't notice anybody sort of checking over your shoulder to make sure that we were not being noticed as we for a fast moment said, Lord, thank you for being with us and for the food. And in the breaking of bread, Christ was with us again. Never apologize for a blessing. Because every time you break the bread, no matter where you are, no matter what the circumstance, it's a reminder to you of the powerful presence of Christ in your lives and the lives of those whom you love. Jesus met with the disciples at a dinner table. And he loved to do it. He loved to eat and loved to drink. Take a look at the first miracle, and what do you find? Jesus is at a wedding. I just love it. He's at a wedding, not a funeral. Wow. Wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. We ran out of food, but we also ran out of wine. Jesus says, hey, no problem. Bring me the water. And we'll make more wine. And they knew the power of his presence. I love the feeding of the 5,000. You know the story as well as I, but it's a powerful story. It's not just a miracle in terms of having a little bit of food and making it go a long way. My mom could do that as well as anyone. But in the 5 loaves and the fish, as bread was broken, the powerful presence of Christ was there. Jesus was the one who ate with tax collectors and sinners. He still does with you and me. Once he was asked by the Pharisees why his disciples were eating and drinking and not fasting and praying like the followers of John the Baptist. And what did he say? He said, you can't make the wedding guest go into a fast as long as the bridegroom is there. There's no sense for a fast. Let's go ahead and eat and drink and enjoy life. And the powerful presence of Christ was among them. And every time we gather on days like this, we are reminded, as many churches are reminded every week when they meet, and the chalice and the bread are before the people, that it is at the meal table, in the breaking of the bread and the taking of the cup, that the powerful presence of Christ is among us. Don't say that Jesus is not at the dinner table, or not at McDonald's, or not at Red Robin, or not in this church, because every time we break the bread and take the cup, the powerful presence of Christ is here. It's exciting. Immediately following this particular account in Luke that was read today, we find Jesus coming among the disciples, and they were frightened. They thought they saw a ghost, which is understandable. What's the first thing that Jesus asked? Do you have anything to eat? That's the same thing I would ask. That's why I try to pick my visitation time either at noon or 6 o'clock. Somebody will say, would you like to sit down? And of course, that's right after I said, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish that they had left over, and he took it and ate it right before their eyes for a number of reasons, one of which was to prove that he was not a ghost, that it really was the living Christ. One of my all-time favorite stories of the gospel accounts comes about a meal again, but it's a meal on the seashore. I love this perhaps more than anything because I love the seashore. I love the splashing of the waves and the sand beneath your feet and the salt water and the salt air. John's gospel in the 21st chapter, Jesus appears to the 7 disciples. They were going out fishing on the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias, whichever one you want to call it. They were going out fishing. It was one of those nighttime fishing trips. Have you ever fished at night? It's horrible staying awake all night. It's even more horrible if you don't catch any fish. They didn't catch anything. It's about sunrise. The boats are ready to come in, but there's a stranger on the shore. Hello out there. Did you catch anything at all? Did you catch anything? Anything good for breakfast? No, we didn't catch anything. Well, let me tell you this. Take your nets. I see that they're empty. Throw them on the right side of the boat if you would. Maybe you'll catch something then. The fish started coming in. We're not talking about suckers. You know, the one you take the hook out and you throw them back? These were big fish. I don't have any doubt in my mind. They were big fish worth eating, and maybe you could even taxidermy one of those things and put it up on the wall. These were mighty fine and mighty big fish. One of the disciples, one beloved by Jesus, sort of squints and looks on the shore. Oh my golly. Hey, Peter, look here. That's Jesus. That's the Master. Well, Peter had his fishing garb on, changes that, puts something else on, dives into the water heading for the shore. The boat makes its way to the shore, and there's Jesus waiting for it. It's getting exciting. Charcoal fires are burning when they arrive. I kid you. There was a fire there on the seashore. And what a catch of fish, about 153 of them, a whole lot of them, in other words. And Jesus said, bring me some of the fish. And the next words you hear, I love it. These are some of the greatest words in the English language for us. Breakfast is ready. And Jesus called out, breakfast is ready. Breakfast is served. And Jesus serves them bread and broiled fish. I sometimes wonder if my mother read this passage prior to Carolyn and I going to my home in Pennsylvania for our honeymoon. We couldn't afford to go anywhere else. I've told you about that. But Jesus had bread and broiled fish. My mother had salt mackerel and fried potatoes for breakfast. Now you take a rebel into a Yankee home. And tell a rebel you're going to have salt mackerel and fried potatoes for breakfast. Well, we almost had a divorce before we... Carolyn wanted to know where the grits were. My Lord, have mercy, have something fit to eat. And I had to agree with her on that particular occasion. Today on the Emmaus Road, we begin to realize that Jesus is the unseen, wonderful guest at every occasion in our lives. Every time we sit down, two or three of us or all of us, and break bread together, the power and the presence of Christ is among us. That's what makes us the body of Christ, not this building. It's the powerful presence of the risen Christ. Every time we break the bread, every time we laugh together and eat together and cry together, we do it because Christ is present with us. Whether it's a short order meal or a meal on the run or at the table or in the park or at the counter where two or three or hundreds are gathered, it doesn't matter. He's with us. Every road for us is an Emmaus road that can lead to Jesus Christ. Every road is that way, a place where bread is broken and our eyes are opened. As Jesus taught the crowds which gathered at his feet, so he teaches us today. Beautiful words given to us in John's Gospel. As Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen.